bought the minor, the red Bible for the other dog. I thought very selfish.
Let's go to 1 John chapter 3.
1 John what?
3. We're still talking about self-image debt. Anybody have any thoughts about that yesterday after Bible study? Gary?
I think I did. Just the power of it, just how it's a fact that these things have taken place in everybody's life. And they're the hidden things of darkness. You know, that's
why it's so critical that we be transformed by the renewing of our mind so that there is no image of self, positive or negative. And the negative self-images are, they're no better or worse than the positive self-images. Probably the negative self-images cause more misery, but that's still all flesh.
And you just that thing too about looking in the mirror. There are times when I've looked in the mirror and seen my flesh, and I, you know, kind of recoil at it, you know. And there's times I look and I don't even, there's not even me there. It's a real.
Are you really standing right in front of the mirror, though?
Well, that would be a little angle.
That could be the problem.
Well, some of the people believe that I don't see myself ever in a mirror, so.
There's that. Show of hands.
Well, you don't like garlic.
All right, 1 John. See if we can tie these things together. Chapter 3. Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons, or really the children of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. And we could spend a year on that, but that's not where we're going to go. Beloved, now we are the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in himself purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Now that verse 3, it's the automatic. It's not something you do. Every man that hath this hope within him, in himself, this resurrected Christ within himself, purifieth himself, and it's automatos, it's automatically. As we see him, we become like him because we see him as he is. And it overrides and overpowers any kind of self-image that there is. And we can take that and look at it after the flesh, and then you become little gods like Copeland, or, you know, when I, you know, the most disgusting thing that I've ever heard from the mouth of these prosperity gospel preachers is when Jesus said, I am, then they say, I am too.
Really?
That's weird. I've heard it from Copeland, from Jesse Duplantis, from Creflo Dollar.
That's scary. Yeah.
Well, it's just disgusting. But it's the perversion of this mystery of God to the flesh. But every man that hath this hope, what is the hope? Hope is never used in the New Testament except as the resurrected Christ within you. Every man that hath this hope in himself purifieth himself, even as he is pure. For for we shall see him as he is. Now, let's see if we can then connect that. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Verse 9. For we know in part and we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child. But when I became a man or an adult, I put away the childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even also as I am known. So again we have the idea of this looking and seeing. And now we see through the glass darkly. Because, it's gradations of darkness depending on your sanctification. And you remember, your sanctification is not dependent upon anything other than your own rebellion, your own willingness to repent at every juncture. That's what removes the silver from the back of the glass, so that you no longer see darkly. You see through to see him and only him. So the whole idea, the best we can do, the highest thing that we can do is to bring forth fruit necessary for repentance. That's why the preaching of the cross is the power of God. That's why we have to go into these deep hidden things, like your core self-image of yourself, because otherwise you slough it off. Nobody likes it. Nobody wants to know that their whole entire life has been based on a lie. No one wants to know that their whole image of themselves and all of the defense mechanisms that you've created to keep hidden is just purely from the pit of hell. Because you want to be, you don't understand, Ole. Mommy beat me when I was little, or something else happened, or... What? No, it isn't. It's very simple. It's a lie.
Well, I can agree with that. You know, while you're saying it, it's when it's happening that I don't want to hear about it. You know, I don't want to hear about it when I'm one of my defense mechanisms is activated. You know,
I can agree with it, but it's what's there that hasn't been removed.
I think it sucks.
What's your alternative?
There is no alternative. So you just hang out?
I don't know. Pray.
Right. Yeah, but those become cliches. Again, repentance, abandonment of self is the only answer. Not dwelling on positives or negatives. There's no other solution other than abandonment.
Well, you said God has to give us the repentance.
Do what?
You said God has to give us the repentance.
That, yeah, but you...
Like, I just can't say, hey, I've done something bad, and I need to repent of it.
I understand, but listen. We have talked just about 30 years... about this singular issue of repentance.
13 months. You win.
But yet you still want to know what to do about something.
Right.
You do nothing about it. You repent.
That sounds like something to do.
Again, let me. If it takes absolutely no effort on your part, unless you're just mentally ill, to walk away from taking a dump. No, come on, guys. Look.
I'm just trying to get it. I'm just trying to understand it to where, like you say, you know, it takes no effort. And it's like you said, you know, we repent, then you say that this, you know, we're just using words or something or whatever. That's not real repentance.
Repentance is abandonment of self.
This is the place that I am trying to get to.
I understand, Ronnie. I understand. The only way you can get to repentance is to see yourself correctly. You're not a victim.
Well, I think I do. Some levels.
Well, then repentance is automatic.
Somebody else has, or you have.
Oh, God.
Fight.
Maybe that's where I'm at. I mean, you know, it's my struggle. I'm trying to...
I understand.
Not have struggle. I'm trying to have struggle. I'm a good person or a good disciple.
Well, that's the whole point. You try to be something. You try to be something instead of be. You've got an add-on to the be. I try to be a good person, or I try to be a nice guy. I try to be this, or I try to be that. That was Harry. If you learned anything from Harry, you know that's what he did until he knew that he was going to die. And all of a sudden, everything he understood.
And that's my point, though.
And that's what I'm...
That's my point.
You don't know you're going to die?
Is that what's going to happen? Is that we're going to reach that point 6 months before we keel over?
Well, of course, I've got enough intelligence to know I'm going to die. That's not the issue. I'm living right now.
It's like all these things in this book start out as cliches until they're worked out in you. And then it comes from talking about it and living it, and then you're seeing him face to face.
Well, I'm trying to get like all the rest of y'all. You know what I'm saying? What are you saying?
Well, we're talking
clearly and understanding.
We're
and
talking
all
like repentance is a one-time thing.
And being able to repent.
Ronnie, no, that's not the point. You've got it just as much as anybody else does.
He teaches on that in the first 10 minutes.
Repentance is not an act of one... Ronnie...
I'm sorry, I do.
Well, listen. Repentance isn't something you do once. Repentance is a state of being. It's a continuum. The minute anything puts your eyes on yourself, Father, forgive me, so that you constantly live in that moment of not being aware of self. And if you're aware of self for any reason, then it's repentance. But that's not what happens, because we enjoy being aware of self. Because then we can live in our imaginations. We can become victims of the universe. We can say if only and what if. And so we continue in sin. Because we say, well, I'm just waiting for God to do it. Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. Is there anyone here that believes that their emotions or that their mind or their mind talk has ever been their friend? Anybody?
Yeah, I have.
It's been your friend?
At times in my life, yeah.
And how did it work out for you?
It worked out pretty good at times, and
No. It's not at times. It's how has it worked out for you? Period. No. And not for any of us. That's the whole point of seeing and pushing everything to the end instead of going back and thinking about something and leaving it at the high point. Leaving it that you've got to expand the whole arena of your life so that you look honestly at self instead of deceiving yourself by believing that, well, there was a good period back then. But most of all, that good period back then was a lie that your mind has made. Amen, Gary?
Yeah, you try and reconstruct it so you turn it into good. It wasn't so good at the time, but you rebuild the past to give yourself...
And it's the trick of the evil one to keep you in bondage. I mean, Gary, I'm going to pick on Gary since he's here. Gary was convinced that he had this wonderful childhood and that everything was great. And you know, I knew that was a lie. I didn't know how I knew, but I knew. And so I challenged him to talk to his sister, his older sister, about his childhood. And it was a revelatory experience because he didn't remember all of the heartache and all of the mess of his childhood. Now, that's the perfect example. You know, or again, Harry remembering his first wife and just constantly consumed with the memories of her and how wonderful it was. Well, it's a lie.
She didn't remember it that way.
No. And she told them readily that. But my point to you is this: it's not that you shouldn't see yourself. You should see yourself correctly. And once you see yourself correctly, then you can't again give any breath to your opinions, your past, your future. You can see yourself, and its end is death. Its end is destruction. Its end is aloneness. The purpose of your mind has been to keep you alone and separate. That's what that's its function. But it deceives you into thinking that, well, I'm going to do this, this, and this, and then I'll remember, and then, that was a good thing. Am I communicating at all?
I think this is where sin has to become exceedingly sinful. That's why we say don't stop yourself. Go all the way with it. And then when you see at the end of it, repentance is what you do.
It's as automatic, repentance becomes as automatic as walking away from taking a dump.
Yeah, it's not an admirable thing. Just seeing.
And unfortunately, my job, my role is to cause you to see that dump and to smell it. And to see that you've been playing in it. Oh, but that's hurting my image of myself. Well, that's my job.
You know, I was thinking that picture of looking in the mirror is, you know, all that is part of seeing yourself. And you know, it's like you look and you say, well, here's something I can change. You know, I can do a little deal here. And you know, there's always something you can fix or change. And you have to get to the point where you're not seeing that anymore to be able to see this reflection of him. And, you know, otherwise you're
in bondage.
Yeah.
John, you're behind that thing there. I can barely hear you.
It's kind of true.
Turn the air off. What?
I said it's kind of true. I can't hear.
I'm not supposed to be yelling.
The whole structure of our life, you know, it's based on a million defense mechanisms, and and lies. And so this is why this is so difficult. It's because everything in you doesn't want to hear this. Everything in you wants to hear Joel Osteen's gospel. That if, and here's how I do it. Here's how you become a better person. Here's how you become a champion. Here's how you become this. That's what your mind wants to know. And that's why that kind of a, you know, power of positive thinking theology is so attractive and people have it and so run to it. But it doesn't work. But it gives you the illusion so that you can continue to believe the lie. And the one singular lie is the lie of self becoming something. If I only knew the little secret. And so you push and go and run and do and then you pray and then you do and then you hear and then you try to listen some more and then you try to get some more and then it's and then you're still alone and desperate. There's no how to. There's your death. That's it. It's not that you're trying to die. It's not that you're trying. It's the fact that you died on the cross. And this being that has been masquerading as Ronnie, his purpose is to keep you separate, alone, and miserable. That's its job. And it's time for that sucker to be revealed and dealt with so that you're not in that bondage any longer, that you then your warfare is over. You've been perfected by one offering. Everything is finished. But boy, to get to that point, it's the Third World War. This way, talk about the, since we're, this is sort of the hairy, post-Harry kind of stuff. This was Harry's huge, I mean, his it wasn't that it was, it's that there's been somebody masquerading as you. You've invented yourself. All of us have. And that's, and we've created a self-image. And that, all of it is wrong.
Yeah, that's why we can't even know each other. You know, my flesh, my made-up weird identity can't ever know yours. And that's the problem of the world. You know, everybody's trying to figure out. And, you know, the only way to do that is when we're both looking in the mirror and seeing him. And there's that...
Then there's fellowship.
Mystical fellowship that comes from out of nowhere.
Let's go to Hebrews 2.
I'm sorry if you apologize.
Oh, what he said was...
We need... Where's Kent when we need him?
Just a quick note on this mirror. You know, the mirror is a parable of something. And I think the parable is that it's the world. When we look out at the world or the people in it and only see ourselves in relation to that and how it's responding to us, then we're totally of the world. But if we get past that, we quit seeing how everything relates to us, and we see Christ everywhere we look.
Right, the mirror is the parable of the fall. The fall, the fruit of the fall, is an incessant self-seeking, self-improvement, self-realization, self-becoming. And the mirror is the revelator of that. And all of the silver on the back of the mirror that makes it a mirror instead of a glass is the infinite varieties of things and thought processes and plans and ideas that you do to try to attain that self-realization. And none of it has ever worked.
Yeah, we're constantly seeking redemption.
Right.
Being okay by people's look at us, success in the world, ability, whatever the thing is. And that's how we think we're being.
You know, it's people that have gotten so mad at me, they just snuck away into the night and left. They always there was one common thing that I've heard over and over again, and it has some variety. Well, I couldn't go talk to Ole because if I talked to him, I would melt. And so therefore, they ascribe some kind of weird power to me. And it's nothing, it has nothing about that. It's the fact that all I can do is to cause you to see yourself correctly in that instant, and you, there's no defense.
I don't think they're afraid of melting. I think people come to you and they know that they're not going to hear what they want to hear. So what's the point?
They're not going to get the advice they want.
So again, the shock of my life is, why does anyone ever want to come and talk to me?
I'm not saying that in a smart rear end tone.
No, I understand what you're saying.
Or being critical. They're not going to hear what they
want. All right. The beauty of that, Jeff, is when you have to get him involved and referee something, it's finished. It is over. You may not get what you want out of it, but it is definitely over.
And Jeff, do you realize that saying smart rear end way is even more offensive than saying smart way?
All right.
You're effing right.
Let's Hebrews 2. Listen carefully. Verse 8. He's talking about what God has done. Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet. For in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now we see not yet all things put under him, but we see Jesus.
Amen.
Now, the whole point of that is that when we see, when the natural man sees not yet all things put under him, even though it's clear, it says it, all things are under the control of God. Everything is perfect, exactly as it should be, except you, except your mind. That's the only enemy on the face of the earth.
So that's what subjection means, control?
It means it's everything that's, subjection means everything is doing exactly as it should be. Okay, we do not yet see all things put under him. For a disciple, he can say, but we see Jesus. For the natural man, we see the problem. We see the judgment. We see the enemy that we have to do something about. Or we see an issue that I'm trying to learn how to do it so I can get out of this situation. So instead of seeing him, seeing Jesus, if there's something that we don't see yet, all things put under, i.e. something has caused us to be aware of ourselves, the mystery is, but we see Jesus. The only way you can see Jesus is by repentance. Now, and that's the test, because when there is repentance and leaving yourself, then there is no effort to deal with the problem at hand or the issue. It becomes, you wait on him. And you wait on him until hell freezes over. You don't ever pick it back up. It doesn't matter. And this has to be tested in you so that you know that Jesus Christ is in you. If it hasn't been tested, then you have no base of reference because he hasn't been wrought in you. Now for me, initially this thing was huge and the test was real. Within a few months after I became a believer, because I said, God, I'm not going to do anything because that's what I saw his mystery was. I can't do anything to help myself, even unto starving to death, if necessary. That I can do nothing again to minister to myself. Now, if that isn't been manifest in you, then all this is an unattainable philosophy. It's something that you're just another damn thing that you're trying to do and trying to get it right. If there is an issue troubling you, you wait on him because you see Jesus. Because all things are put under subjection. Everything is exactly as it should be in your life. You are perfect in his eyes by one offering. You've been perfected forever. Your warfare is over. You are seated with him in the heavenly places. Everything is finished. But we don't see yet all things finished, if that's where you are. And you see, well, I need to take, what am I going to do about this? And how am I going to read a book? And I need to find this. I need a rule for that. And No, we see Jesus and we wait only on him. That's the mystery of discipleship. And I've screwed up a million times in the last 35 years. But again, when I did, he restored my soul. Now, that's the reason for the confusion. Because when we do not see yet all things put under him, then we think something is wrong. And I know Ronnie well enough that you think you've done something wrong. Does it communicate?
But in the body, we don't, or in these meetings, we don't come so that we all of a sudden understand something a certain way, can say it a certain way. It's more like if someone thinks there's this big deal, they say it, and then someone else sees, that's not a big deal. That's just
right.
Debt.
But again, these things have to be wrought in you. They can't be wrought in you by anybody else. It has to be that trial of faith has to be manifest in you. And the trial of faith has nothing to do with finding solutions or anything. It's just waiting to see him. And that's again, well, people say, well, I just can't wait. That's not my personality type. Well, it's nobody's personality type. But that's the mystery of it. That's the mystery of removing all that crap so that you can, where you just see yourself. And you find out when you've just seen yourself. You know, I've told you, my only rule when I was in the world was rules are for when brains run out. Well, then brains ran out, and then I was able to be a disciple. But it really is simple. Let nothing, as a serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, let nothing confuse you from the simplicity that is in Christ. It isn't difficult. And this thing about this self-image debt, the reason it's huge. Well, all these debts are huge, but. You know, that's why we're really back studying Romans. We're studying Romans, owe no man anything. And that no man, including you, have no obligation to yourself for this image. Owe no man anything except to love one another. Amen? Anybody have any response, anything to say? Kevin?
I was thinking that the self-image debt happened at the fall. It's like that's when the silver was placed on
Amen.
The glass.
Amen. Amen. That's what made it the seeing through the glass.
They were naked and ashamed.
That's good. Who told you you were naked? Well, I saw myself in a mirror.
Well, it's like over time, as people become more adept technically at seeing themselves, then you see the development of mirrors. You know, it, like, you know, now it's like you can get the virtual, completely 3D, you know, holographic image of somebody, you know, yourself, talking to somebody.
When I went to the clinic yesterday to get the stitches out for this thing, they had to go and get, you know, again, picture. They took pictures at every stage of this, and so I had to sit there and watch from, first of all, that, you know, that big mess, and the big mess with more black on it, and then about, it seemed like about a half inch of my nose gone, and then that cockeyed thing.
They had it all.
Yeah, they had a series of pictures that it took from every angle.
Is there a way we can get a hold of those?
anyway, but it's like, for some reason, it showed me how ridiculous our thinking about ourselves is, because, I mean, it's just goofy. It just...
Is your self-image improved in the last week or
so? Not to me. But it's just, you know, all of our, every one of us, our self-image is totally and completely, it's totally different. Your self-image is totally different than anybody else sees you. It's certainly totally different than what God sees. And it's useless. It has no purpose. And yet it's the most controlling thing in your life.
Like anorexia, you know, when people, skinny women, look in the mirror and
see fat.
It's just like, that's impossible. How can that be?
You gotta lose 5 more pounds.
Yeah, that's how we are. I know that's how I am. What I see in the mirror is not what I see in photographs and other places.
All right, we probably spent a few more days on this. Take it, big guy.